Who knows what's happening on the 14th of February? 14th of February. People are celebrating what is called Valentine's Day. You know, people all over the world, many are excited about it. And there's nothing wrong in celebrating love, even though love should not be kept to one day. Love should be happening every day, every day. And we know that over the years, and this is not my words, Valentine's Day has become something that has brought out the evil in man. It's not really a day of love. It's a day of lust. It's a difference between love and lust. Love is God. The Bible says, for God is love. Without God, you can never understand love. See, love is not for man to define. And when people say they love, they actually lust it. And so many things happen. There's a lot of sexual immorality that happens. In the run-up to Valentine's Day, and on Valentine's Day, you know, it's said that the sale of things that have to do with sex are on phenomenal rise at Valentine. See, so you see that it is not really love the world is celebrating. They are celebrating something that is against the will of God. And so, you know, myself, Pastor, you know, what I've been planning for Valentine's Day. Make sure that whatever you do on the day is in line with the Word of God. That's important because we've been studying. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone. We shall live by how? Every word. And I really want to speak to our young people because they live in a world where sexual immorality is glamorized. So I want to use this opportunity because around when the early stages of the church, around Valentine's time, we used to do a seminar. So we will counter the information that is out there. So I want to use today just to speak to everyone and to speak to young people in particular because there's so much immorality online. You know, there's online, on social media, everywhere. And do not be trapped because it is the work of the devil. The devil is only after one thing. The Bible says he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Sexual immorality is dangerous. In fact, it is deadly. Let's look at scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You may say, well, this is not what I came to church to hear this morning. But we speak the word, amen? Every word that comes out of the heart of God. And the word of God is not taught to condemn people. The word of God is taught to bring us freedom. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It says, flee sexual immorality. Now, this is a powerful, it's a strong word, to flee. You know, we don't use that term in our modern day language. You don't meet somebody and say, I want you to flee. But it's very strong. And for God to ask us to flee it, it has to be something that will harm us. You see, the word flee, looking at the dictionary, says to run away as from trouble or danger. That's what flee means. So it's not just running, it's running. You know there's a way you run when you just want to run. Maybe you're doing exercise, you want to lose some weight. You know, some people say, I can't run. But when you face danger, you will flee. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says, flee sexual immorality. And keep going. Display the scripture. Have you got it? It says, Every sin that a man does, every sin that you commit, whatever sin it is sin. But there's something unique about sexual immorality. This is what the scripture, in fact, there are many scriptures that talk about it. I won't be able to go into all of them in today's meeting. But one who commits sexual immorality sins against what? His own body. What happens with sexual immorality is because sex is a creation of God, and it is meant to be done within the context of people of marriage who have committed their lives together. And the reason for marriage is that you are committing yourself totally and absolutely to that one person. The Bible says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That one flesh, it has the connotation of sex. Because they are coming together in what? One flesh. And so what it says here, if a person commits sexual immorality, that is, he's carrying on with the people they are not supposed to be in relationship with, what they are doing is they are joining their body to something that is of the devil. Now, maybe you've not heard it this way before. You have joined your body, and you see, the reason, why do you think there is, sexually transmitted diseases? Sexually transmitted diseases. Why does it happen? Because you join yourself to a person, and they transmit to you. You see, you don't see it happening. Hallelujah. But the Bible already knows it because God knows it. So whatever they have, whatever they carry, you carry. That's exactly what is happening. And so he says you are committing. You see, if you, he says sins against his own body. You are damaging your own body. You are damaging it. You are killing it. So you notice here, the Bible doesn't say, pray against sexual immorality. You can't pray it. What do you do? And I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will help us to learn how we can flee today. Amen. Hallelujah. Flee also means that you should hurry towards a place of safety or security. So you're not just running. You are hurrying. You want to get to a place where there is safety or security. Eddie Clarence, have you got all those items? You can bring them here. You know, everywhere around us, we have signs, isn't it? You have danger. Do not cross this path. Do not move across this. There's notices of danger everywhere. You know, if you go to a power station, you see signs everywhere. Do not touch. Do not go past this place. Do not. Signs are everywhere. The Word of God also gives us signs. What we should watch out for, because God loves us. See, we have these cones, and the reason we use these cones in outside for where people shouldn't park, you know, our neighbors, they informed us when we came. See, we have parking right across the church here that we could park in. But since we arrived here, we've never used the parking. Thank you very much. We've never used it. You know why? Because they've told us that there are certain spots around this village, in this road, that is a potential for accidents. So the villagers came to us and said, look, these are the things that have happened in the past. If people park their cars here, people coming from the other side, they are not able to see. So what did we do? We told them, no problem. We will make sure that we put cones and signs and also have DSMs to ensure that our people do not park in those places. Now, when we say you shouldn't park there, is it because we hate you? No, it's actually because we love you, because there is danger there. And so we make all the signs. And all of these signs, you know, this one says, there's one that normally says wet floor. You know that one, wet floor. Can you imagine if you saw wet floor and say, oh no, these people are, they are so terrible people. They don't want me to pass. But it's because they love you that they put the sign. So he says, sexual immorality you avoid it, because every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality, sins against his own body. He does something to you that you don't see. Young people, you have to be aware of it. Sexual immorality is dangerous to us. And what did I say? The Bible didn't say we should pray against it. In fact, you will notice that there are many things that the Bible asks you to actually pray about. But it doesn't do that when it comes to sexual immorality. That should already give you signals that this is serious. You know, the Bible doesn't ask us to flee from the devil. He didn't ask anyone. You won't find it where the Bible says, flee the devil. What does it say you should do? Resist the devil. Everything God asks you to stand against it. Stand against the devil. And when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, what do? You go through it. You don't get to the valley of the shadow of death and run away. You don't flee. Come on now. The Jesus was talking about mountains. What did he say you should do to the mountain? If you say to this mountain, he didn't say flee from mountains. But you see, we're doing it the other way around. We're running away from the devil. We're running away from the mountains. We're running away from the valley of the shadow of death. But then we are. What's that word? Canoeing, is it? Wow, this lady is too loaded. Amen. I still can't say it. Amen. But you canoeing with sexual immorality, the one that is dangerous to your health. You know why? God can't help you. Because he knows when you resist the mountain, when you speak to the mountain, his power will be able to look after you. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will not be afraid because his rod and his staff, they comfort you. When you resist the devil, the Lord will ensure that he does what? The devil is to flee from you. You don't flee from him, but there is one thing God asks you to run away from. It is sexual immorality. And do you know that this is being glamorized online? And a lot of young people, innocent young people, are being endangered. There's a lot of child sexual things going on. There are many children who have left home because somebody somewhere say, I love you. They don't love, they lost. If somebody loves you, the first sign you will see is that they will not ask you to leave your family. Praise God. That's a signal. So he says, flee sexual immorality. Let's keep going. Verse 19. Or do you not know, now listen to this, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You think about it. Can you imagine this is a church building? Church building. There are things we will not do inside a church building. Do you agree with that? If you heard that somebody was doing certain things in this building, you will be appalled. In fact, the Bible talks about people who are not carrying out their lives properly. It says they can bring the gospel into disrepute. They can bring shame to the gospel. And so you wouldn't want it, but now the Bible lets us know that you are like that temple. You are the temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. Now, this is serious. Now, you may think that, oh, no, it's my body. I can do whatever I like. You cannot do what you like with your body. Wow. I'm not saying it. Who is saying it? It's God that is saying it. This is God's word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. This is every word. This is every word that's coming from the mouth of God, because that is the only way you will have life. Only God's word can give life. No knowledge of man. The world may say, this is the way it is. This is the way it works. You know, we figured it out. The world can't figure it out, because it will only lead to death. The Bible lets us know. So it says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. This is the first thing in Christianity. You know, when you receive Jesus, you say, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. My Lord means my owner. I surrender to you. You are my owner. How did he become your owner? Because he paid, he redeemed you from all of the evil and all of the sin that man has ever committed, and you have come into his family, and it begins to wash you with his blood, with his word. The word of God, as you hear the word, it washes you clean. And this knowledge, this information has to be passed out before you get trapped and think that this is a life to go. People who are involved in this, they know what they suffer. This can destroy homes, destroy marriages, destroy everything, destroy everything. And say, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? I am not my own. Oh, wow. Now, for you to prove that I'm not my own, can you imagine if I went out and you saw me with one lady and I'm canoodling with the lady. You know, you just saw me outside and I'm doing... and I carry a bottle of what? Vodka. Come on. And I do this, and I just tuck in. I take out one part of my shirt. And I meet Joycelyn. I say, Joycelyn, this is life. What am I doing? Why would you, if I am my own, and I can do what I like with my body, why would you react to it? After all, I am my own. I own my body. But because you know that I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I am the pastor, I've received the word of God, you do not expect me to do it because that body is not mine anymore. It's not. And as it applies to the pastor, it applies to everyone. Glory to God. Because this is not saying the pastor's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. All of us. The temple. We are the temple of God. It matters to God what we do with our bodies. It matters to him. Says you are not your own. Verse 20. For you were bought. Wow. This is powerful. I've been bought. That's why the devil can't touch me. Because I've been bought. Woo! Glory to God. That's why I can stand and resist the devil. And he will flee because I belong to another. I am not my own. If I was my own, he could defeat me. But he cannot defeat me because I belong to the Master, the Savior and Redeemer, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. So my body, look at what it says to them. So you were bought with a price. Therefore, do what? Glorify God in what? In your body. The body matters to God. The body is so powerful. Thank you, Jesus. There are some things I would like to say, but I'm not sure that there's enough people around to be able to be the things that I would love to say. But I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to just let you know that it is dangerous ground to be in sexual immorality. It affects the body. And when it talks about the body, it's not just this external body. Your body includes your mind. Your mind will just begin to function in a way that you'll be amazed. Your emotions will be affected. It will mess up your emotion. Because you are being joined to another person that you shouldn't have been joined. Whatever they have, you receive. Whatever. And you see, people are been in this. They need to actually come. That's why you come to God for what? And ask for forgiveness. It says, it's faithful and just to do what? To forgive and to... Why does he forgive and cleanse? Because after he has forgiven you, he has to cleanse you. There are things that are impurities that you have contacted. That's why he says he will forgive and cleanse. from all unrighteousness. So it is dangerous to carry on with sexual immorality. I hope I'm not spoiling your Valentine's Day. Glory to God. Don't pray and say, oh, Lord, you know, I've been going through this for a long time. Really praying. No. Flee. You cannot stand against sexual immorality. The way your body is, the way human body is, don't try and romanticize with it. Don't try and go near it. Don't try and say, I'm a strong Christian. I can go anywhere and nothing will happen. You know, I knew somebody many years ago. My wife and I knew this person. He said, look, I can stay in bed with a woman and I will not do anything. And it was a lie. He was already doing something. The Bible didn't say, lay around on the bed with the woman and hope that nothing will happen. And then speak in tongues. So you say, makarabo shikende riba. It doesn't work. Say it doesn't work. What does the Bible say? Flee. When you go online and you see something pop up, what do you do? I didn't hear you. When somebody sends you a message and it carries some kind of image and everything, what do? Flee. I said, this looks interesting. Interesting. From interesting, something else will happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 11. That is my boy Isaac responding to the word. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Verse 1. Let's see what happened to David. David was a king. He's done many great things for the Lord. Now, this is one area that affected the ministry and the life. Thank God that David did exactly what I said he should do. What should you do? You ask for forgiveness. In fact, that is why one of the reasons why God loved David was Saul, when he made an error, what did Saul do? In fact, what Saul did in the context of what we are reading is less sin than what David did. But Saul would not ask for forgiveness. He was so proud, he wouldn't ask God for forgiveness. But David wrote Psalm 51 as a result of what we're about to read. So when you go home, you read Psalm 51. He wrote it because of this. 2 Samuel chapter 11. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Next verse. Then it happened one evening. You know, it always happens. Glory to God. It just happens. One evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof. You know, sometimes, you have a rooftop in your house. Amen. You go up on the rooftop, maybe you go up on the loft. And he's walking around. And what happened? And from the roof he saw. Keep going. The woman was doing what? What should he have done? Because this is like looking at a picture. This is an image before him. Because he was on the loft, that's why he was able to see it. It's probably covered in a particular way that unless you are at the top, you wouldn't see it. So now he sees the woman was very beautiful. See, he's already missing it. So he must have looked intently to see her beauty. What does the Bible say? Flee sexual immorality. Flee it. And so let's see. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife? So it's not only the daughter of someone, she is already married. And, you know, and a lot of people use their position. See, if you occupy a position, you know, maybe a position where you have money, you can use it to entice people. Maybe you have some warped kind of thinking. You can use it to entice people. Or maybe your position as a pastor. So you have to be very careful as a pastor, because people will come to you for advice, for counseling. And so you've got to be very, you have to do what? If you sense anything, what do? You have to flee. Don't say I'm a bishop. So he's a king. And then next verse 4. Then David sent messengers and took her. He took her. How did he start? He started by looking, by observing and looking intently. And as he looked and looked, he began to inform his behavior. He began to affect what he would do. You know, the country is at war at this particular time. They were bringing notices and issues about the war and bringing reports about the war. But what is he busy doing? Because he has not run away from sexual immorality. He's trapped. A king is trapped. You see, the sexual immorality can bring down a warrior. He was able to defeat Goliath, but he was not able to defeat sexual immorality. You are not to throw, you know, say, let me look for my sling and my stones. No, no, no. What should you do? Run. So David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity. Wow. And you know what resulted, what happened from this? There was murder. First, he killed the woman's husband. Then the child also died, isn't it? There was division between him and his children. Division came into his household, into the kingdom. David began to face lots of troubles. His children rose up against him. You know, Pastor Yinka was teaching last week, telling us about consequences from every decision and action that we make. So there was division, there was infighting going on. And this only resulted because of what he did. Genesis chapter 39. So we see David. Now let's look at another person who did the right thing. You know, it's always good to look at those who didn't do it right so we know what to avoid. And we look at the people who did it right so we know the examples to follow. So thus he left. This is Joseph. Joseph is in Potiphar's house. The Lord has blessed him. He's in Potiphar's house. Thus, he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now, Joseph was what? Handsome in form and appearance. You know what that means? What does it mean to me? The guy is really cool, man. He's physique. Wow. So not only in looks, in physique. Because it must mean that the guy, you know, he's like those people are six pack, thank you. No, Pastor Caleb said, he tells his wife, I have one pack. So people begin to look, you see, people look at these things and they observe as they observe, and sometimes you can think that you are too much because you look handsome. You can be proud and think of yourself more highly than you should think. Joseph is not doing that. He knew he was handsome. I'm sure people have told him, you're a handsome young man. And not only that, you're wise. Very wise. And that is the reason some people send you message, you know, you are so handsome. You are the butter in my bread. That's in those days. Those are the kind of things we used to say in those days. You tell a lady, it's all lies. Lies, I'm telling you, lies. And people used to copy the same letter and write it. You see, you copy it, you give the copy, you write the same, you just change the name. You are the sugar in my tea. Doxology. And so people write all kinds of things, and you see online, don't you see all of the people who are deceiving people online? They send out the same kind of messages. And they start, have you heard what they call grooming? They didn't groom children. I've known someone who left home, just walked out of the house because she was communicating with this man. You know, she's a teenager, and this person is over 50 years of age. And deceiving her that I'm this, I'm this, I'm that, and posting another picture to her. And that derailed her, just derailed her. We've got to trust for the grace of God to restore and to bring her back. It didn't have to happen. Didn't have to happen. And that's why I'm speaking today for whoever is listening that the sound of my voice, if you've been doing something like that, you can stop it and ask for forgiveness, and God will do what? He will forgive you and cleanse you. Cleanse you. You'll be clean. The Bible says, though your sins be as what? As red as scarlet, they will become what? As white as wool. But if you have not done it, praise God. Say, oh, thank God I came to church today. Thank God I listened to this message today. And do not be deceived. Hallelujah. He said it was good in form and appearance. Let's go to the next verse. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. I'm reading this to you so that you know that it's not just men who do it. Women do it as well. Because the flesh is flesh. Men have flesh, women have flesh. So you've got to be able to resist these things. You've got to be able to resist these things. And it came to pass that after these things, his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, what? Lie with me. You know, if you don't know how to flee, this is license to canoe. What was that word again? Amen. License. Because anybody who asks you, say, because she's my master's wife, I have to obey orders. I've been taught obedience. Amen. You see, anything that is contrary to God's word, you don't obey. I'm telling you, anything that is contrary to the word of God. So he says, and she said, lie with me, verse 8. But he did what? He refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I. See, the reason I'm reading this to you is because you can see what is making Joseph function. Joseph is somebody who knows God, and he's letting us know what governs his behavior. It is the word of God that governs my behavior. It is what God says. I don't live by bread alone. I live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So he says, look at this. You know, how does it look? Nor has he kept back anything from me but you. Because you are what? You are his wife. How then can I do this? Look at that. How then can I do this? Great. Now, think about it. Look at his reasoning. For him to call sexual immorality great wickedness, he has knowledge of it. He has been taught that it is evil. And maybe in his short lifetime, he has already seen what it has done to homes and families. So he calls it great wickedness and sin against who? Against God. Why will he say sin against God? Because your body is not your own. It is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day. Now, I give credit to Joseph. Do you give credit to Joseph? So he didn't stop once. She kept on day by day. She spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. Next verse. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside. Whoa. So now there is a secret now. There's empty room for it to happen. So one of the things you have to do, make sure you are not keeping yourself around people that you know would tempt you to do things like this. Where are we? What verse are we? That she caught him by his what? His garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and did what? And fled and ran outside. But the scripture we just read is in the New Testament. How did Joseph know? You see, if you walk with God, you will know what to do. You have to deny the unction of the Spirit of God inside you to do what God says not to do. If you know God, in the Old Testament, New Testament, we will all do the same thing. We will do what? We will flee. And notice what happened. I told you all of the calamity and issues that happened in the life of David. Thank God. He says, create in me, in Psalm 51, a new heart and renew a right spirit within me. He was repentant. So there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. And you know, he went on to say, take not your Holy Spirit away from me. Wow. But Joseph, see what happened. Even though it looked like Joseph was going down, because he went from here to where? To prison. From prison, he became the prime minister. Became so great in the land that Pharaoh handed over everything to him. And when his people came, he was able to bring deliverance to his people and gave them the posh part of town. That's what happens when you resist. Or resist, or what do? When you flee. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So how do you do this? Let's go quickly. Let's look at how we can do this. Romans chapter 12. This is the way we do it. Romans 12 verse 1. The New King James. Do we have Romans 12 verse 1? Thank you, Jesus. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? Present your body. So this is now, because this body is not mine. It belongs to God. The way to avoid, to start getting to the point where I will be able to flee, is to present that body, to recognize that this body is not mine. I need to hand it over to God, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Next verse. And this is the way you present it. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. This is what happens. You have to be changed. This body doesn't want to change. This body doesn't want to listen. This, my body, wants to do what it likes, what pleases it. My body just wants to do everything. It doesn't want to listen. Body doesn't want to obey. This body, you can't trust it. You know what Paul said? I have no confidence in the flesh. I don't trust this, my flesh. I don't trust it to do what I've heard. I don't trust it to do what I've heard. I don't trust it to do anything. So what am I going to do? I will present it to God. And as I present it to God, that is everywhere that the word of God is being taught, I will make sure I am there and I'm receiving that word to deal with this, my body. So what's going to happen? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. My mind needs to be renewed. My mind needs to be renewed, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Present. Tell somebody, present your body to God. Present it. You know, you should be trusting the Holy Spirit to help you so that you're always in church. It's a trap not to come to the house of God. You know, many times we think, oh, no, they want me to come to church so that the church will be full. No, no, no. You know, God doesn't count numbers. He doesn't look at numbers. The numbers are important. He wants everybody saved. But you know, in John chapter 6, which we were reading on Friday, after Jesus spoke about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, what happened? The thousands left him. And Jesus didn't say, oh, please, I made a mistake, come back, come back. No, 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 he didn't say it. Because God doesn't look at numbers, he walks on the truth. Because it's only the truth that will do what? That will make you free. Hallelujah. Let's look at what verse 2, what it says in the New Living Translation. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't copy it. The world will tell you, say, oh, everything, oh, you know, all those things the pastor is saying is tosh. We know better. But you see, every person, I'm telling you, who has gone through, who has allowed themselves to submit to this, they have been affected. You know, many homes have been destroyed. Children, families, emotions, mentally, physically, they've been destroyed. So God doesn't want this for us. So he said, don't copy the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. How is it going to change the way you think? The word of God. the word of God will let me know that this is not right. How did Joseph know that it was not right? It was the word of God. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? Hallelujah. Let's look at the Message translation, the way it puts it. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it. So, but you know, in our culture, Pastor, you know, the things you're reading is for those days. But in these days, everybody does it. That's what we do. You say, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Hallelujah. So as we hear the word of God, he will begin to renew our minds, renew and change the way we think, change the way we reason. And we look at sexual immorality as something that we run away from. We don't look at something that we should try and behold. Not something that we will try and join other people and think and reason the way they reason. Doesn't matter how anybody else reasons. And I'm not using this to try. I thank God for the grace of receiving God's word and God's truth in these areas. Because as a pastor, not just people that I know, whether within Christians. You know, before when I was growing up, I used to think Christians, this kind of things Christians don't do. In fact, when I was growing up as a Christian, and they would say that this Christian did, say, I'm not sure he's a Christian. But then as I grew up, I found out that Christians do a lot of these things. There's actually really no difference between Christians and unbelievers in these areas. You know why? Because God knows that sexual immorality will affect a believer and affect an unbeliever. In fact, the believer can know what? The believer enjoys it. But he knows that in order for us to be different, the believer has to flee from it. We have to flee. And so he said, don't become well adjusted. I don't want to adjust to the reasoning of this world. I don't want to adjust, you know, they keep changing everything. That lie, maybe some 40 years ago, the world said, this thing is not right. But now they say it is right. It's correct. They're changing everything. But God's word never changes. Don't adjust to their thinking. Don't adjust to their reasoning. Concerning marriage, don't adjust to their thinking. Concerning sexual immorality, don't adjust to their thinking. It's not all right. It is not all right to go from woman to woman or from man to man. It's not all right. It's not in line with God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not all right. Glory to God. Glory to God. So don't become adjusted to it. Let it change your behavior. The word of God. I keep taking the word of God, and I'm trusting that this word we're hearing today is already changing us. Hallelujah. We're hearing the truth. You know, sometimes you may say, well, this is not really what I wanted to hear. You know, it's important that we don't have itchy ears. You know what the Bible says? It says in the last days, men will not love the truth, but they will have itchy ears. You know what itchy ears is? That's a scratch. You know when you are something is itching you, what do? So you want a message that will scratch that itch for you. Say, scratch it, Pastor, scratch it. You can do what you like. Thank you, Lord. No, it's not true. I give you the truth, but I also let you know that the grace of God is available to bring change. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Let us bow our heads and begin to pray. I want us to pray for our young people. You know, the Spirit of God is saying to me, I know there are young people, there are people who have been damaged. And they have been hurt because of this lifestyle. No Christian, no believer goes into this intentionally. It happens because just like David, say, and it happened on a certain day. Let's pray for our young people. Pray for those who are hurting, that they will know that there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. And Lord, we pray that they will ask for that forgiveness today. There is help available. Doesn't matter what they have done. Doesn't matter what they have committed. Lord, thank you because they will ask for forgiveness. And we know that you will forgive them. Let them know it. And let them know that you will cleanse them from every unrighteousness. Cleanse them. And let's pray for those who are young, that they will never fall into this temptation. That the Lord will keep them. That the words and the truth that they hear will preserve them. That all our people will be like Joseph. Like Joseph. And that they begin to see the outcome of living that life. Of presenting their bodies to God. Of making their bodies that temple of God. Not thinking like the people of the world. Not thinking like their friends at school. No. That they are a holy nation. A peculiar people. They've been set out to carry. To carry the Holy Spirit. They are the temple of the Most High God. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for cleansing. We give you praise. In Jesus' name.